The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio. Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We have got ourselves a Triple Crown winner in horse racing, as it has not been done since 1978. History was made to be broken, people, and we just broke it as we saw it happen and go down on Saturday. Unbelievable stuff. Triple Crown, man. It's pretty impressive. I don't know that much about horse racing, but I guarantee Jeff knows more than I do, and Fred Wallen will definitely know more than I do in hour number two. But amazing stuff. Pretty incredible. We've also got a lot of other things going on. NHL hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs, all knotted up at 1-1 now as Tampa gets it done. 4-3 in that game the other day. And then the NBA Finals. It's here, everybody. And you know what? We might be disappointed, Jeff, because one Kyrie Irving, a very important piece to those Cleveland Cavaliers, can no longer play, man. I know you're probably upset. We've only got a couple seconds, but good morning, man. Good to be a Cavs fan, but also pretty tough to be a Cavs fan, man.
You know, this is still as far as they've ever made it in their franchise history. They've still never won an NBA Finals game, and they might not. But
we'll see.
I think Cleveland's still got plenty of reason to be excited.
We'll see what happens. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. A lot going on in the sports world. We'll be back to start talking about it on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Keep it close.
When you take a deep breath, are you sure you're breathing in fresh air? I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. In just a moment, we'll talk about a dirty little problem and how you can fix it right after this. Old, ugly, or damaged bathtubs and sinks don't have to be ripped out and replaced. Save money and give new life to bathroom fixtures with Homax Tough as Tile Spray-On Epoxy Finish. Preparation is the key, so follow the directions carefully and don't cut any corners. With Homax Tough as Tile, you can refinish your bathtub or sink yourself and get great results without hiring a professional. Homax, creating better homes. As the summer heats up, our air conditioners start working overtime. We all know it's important to keep the filter change, but you also need to keep the evaporative coil clean as well. A dirty coil promotes mold growth, which can find its way into the very air we breathe inside our homes. It can also cause your unit to work a lot less efficient and even freeze up. Over-the-counter spray cleaners are okay for very light cleaning, but in many cases, the coil needs to be removed for cleaning. That's when you need to call in the professionals. A thorough cleaning of the coil will improve the peak operating efficiency of the unit and will help extend the life of the equipment. In the long run, it saves you money, and that definitely will help you breathe a healthy sigh of relief. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call now, 877-499-MYTV.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
Alrighty, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out around the Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Got my man Jeff Rich. He's with me. He's with me each and every week. You can too. 1-800-878-7529. Those are our digits. Lot to talk about. Hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports. And then check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Jeff, we didn't even mention this, too. Another thing happening right before our very eyes. French Open, Serena Williams wins her 20th. A lot of people have a lot of hate for her, you know, and people talk about it's hard to get behind her because of her antics on the court, this and that and the other. I think, you know what, the more I think about it, we all love to hate greatness. You know, we love to hate LeBron James for going to the Miami Heat because people said, oh, that's the only way he can win a championship. Goes back to Cleveland. You know, he was hated on the way out. Loved when he comes back. I think what I'm trying to say is we just live in a society that wants to hate everybody. And when they're great or they have this greatness, this ability to go out and play a sport better than anybody else, we as a people want to dog them. We want to go after them. We want to say, oh, well, you know, they're great, but they have terrible antics on the tennis court, or, you know, it's really hard to root for someone like that. Bottom line is, am I crazy, or does it seem like people want to hate people that are great?
No, without question. You know, you have to fit a certain mold in order to avoid the scrutiny. You got to be the golden boy of your sport. You've got to be and, you know, and if you're a female athlete, I think that there's definitely a double standard, and we hold both the Williams sisters to it, and quite a few other athletes that have emerged since the '90s that don't fit that mold that we've created, you know, that the old guard has created. So I'm not surprised by it. I don't know that it'll change immediately, but I think 30 years from now, these conversations about these non-traditional or just new style athletes are going to be a lot different.
Well, and I think that's it. Maybe it's just harder to appreciate greatness when you're seeing it, like, right in front of your very eyes. And then you can have a chance to sit back and look at how great somebody was after their career and say, you know what? Maybe I didn't give that person the type of respect that they deserve for how great they truly were. And maybe it's just my fault for not appreciating that. You know, I mean, truthfully, you know, I hear so many people say, oh, Serena Williams is a terrible person on the court. Her antics are terrible, this and that and the other. She was so sick the other day that it was very difficult for her to even get on the court. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I mean, look, when you're that great, you're not going to not go out and play as well. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of drama involved with it, but nobody can tell how somebody's feeling physically, emotionally, whatnot. And a lot of times, yeah, it's going to come out on the court or on the basketball floor. I mean, or any in any one of their arenas, it could come out. And you may not like the way that it comes out, but that's a person showing the way that they are. That's their character. That's who they are. So at the end of the day, I just think it's about hating people that are great and not appreciating how awesome somebody is in that time, in that moment, right when you're able to watch it. Why do we need 20 or 30 years to say that person was great and I don't know why I didn't appreciate her when she was great when I was watching her or him or whoever it is for that matter, Jeff?
Well, do you see it on the – you know, you're the tennis guy. Do you see this on the men's side with Djokovic or Nadal or Federer? I mean, do any of them quite face the scrutiny that Serena Williams does?
See, I think that's a good point. I think early in his career, Djokovic, a lot of people, you know, weren't all about him either. I think people thought he was a little cocky, a little arrogant. But as you get to know these people and you watch him through their greatness – you actually start to appreciate those little weird things about guys. You know, Djokovic is one. He's a character on the tour, to be honest with you. You know, he does impersonations of other guys on the tour. You know, and he does them pretty well, to be honest with you. So, you know, look, on the men's side, it seems to be like the champions are more gracious. And maybe it's a little because it's a little bit more spread out. You know, you had your run for Nadal where he was whooping up on everybody. We obviously know about Federer's amazing run or Sampras's amazing run back in the day. I think that it is different. I don't know what it is. It's like for some reason – I'm going to compare it to when I play with my buddies. Look, we're out there and we're talking trash when we're out there on the court and we're playing against each other. But when it's over, Jeff, we shake each other's hand and we say, hey, great match. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier for men to be gracious in victory and gracious in defeat than it is for women. I really don't have the answer. I don't know. And maybe it stings more. I really don't have the answer. But I can understand what you're saying, and I can appreciate it. It doesn't seem like on the men's side there's a lot of animosity toward a lot of these great champions. But I also think it's because there's more great champions than there are on the women's tour.
Well, let me ask you this. We've got championship tennis to look forward to on Sunday. Stan Wawrinka, Djokovic, your thoughts on a championship match on the clay on Sunday afternoon?
Look, these two guys are going at it. I mean, it's going to be a true battle. I expect a four or five setter. I mean, you know, early results, Djokovic gets the first one, Wawrinka gets the second one, and we're on pace for that five setter or four setter. But I mean, I'll tell you what, Wawrinka has really come up in the rankings, and this is a guy that's for real. He can win any tournament. He can play on any surface, as we can see. He took out his countryman, Roger Federer, earlier in the tournament. And I'll tell you what, man, the guy's fantastic. And sometimes when guys get in a run and they're playing in a certain way, they're unstoppable. There is one guy, though, that has the ability to beat anybody on the other side of the net, and that's the guy I've been talking a little bit about already, and that's Novak Djokovic. He's a true champion too, man, and he's probably the best fit athlete that I can ever think of, to be honest with you. And I'm talking any sport. You know, the physical wear and tear of a tennis match, running around a tennis court for 3 to 5 to 7 miles, whatever it is, you know, and the types of movements, they're quick, they're fast, they're explosive. You can't really train yourself for this. You just go out and you do it, man, and they do it over and over and over. So I truly have an appreciation for tennis players, especially men's tennis players. They play 3 out of 5 at these major events. The women play 2 out of 3 all the time. And again, that's not a knock on them. It's the physical wear and tear, though, the men take is absolutely unbelievable. You know, to be out on a tennis court for 5 hours and to play the fifth set the same way that you play the first set, or maybe even better. I think that's really impressive, Jeff. So, you know, it's just about that will and that desire to go out there and win and be the best that you can be. And as we just were talking about this match that's happening right before our eyes, Djokovic just got broken in the third set. So Wawrinka up 4-2 now with a chance to go 5-2 in the third set. And, you know, I want to tell you this. You know, we talk about antics and whatnot and how some people like or dislike the way Serena is out on the court. Rafael Nadal gets pretty pumped up. He's waving his fists around. Vavrinka just waved his fists around. So I'm not sure I understand, to be honest with you, what people don't like about her antics. And I guess that's where my rant came from in the first place, because I don't understand. If you don't want people to show emotion, then you should be mad at every single player that's out there, because they all show emotion and they do things when they're positive. I mean, how do you not like somebody showing positive emotion, Jeff? I don't get it, man. Do you have any answers?
Well, frankly, I think it's that country club etiquette that comes with the sport. You know, a lot of people are stuck in the 50s and 60s where, you know, the women are to be seen and not heard. And, you know, Serena violates that protocol if such a thing exists. Hey, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Big tennis event at the French, big golf event up on Long Island, big horse racing event up on Long Island.
How's this? Save it.
When is the next big day for tennis? And next big day for horse racing.
Sounds good. That's a good call. On the other side, we'll get into that, but we also got to hook up with our professor of sports, John Poulter. So keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name.
Alrighty, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me as he is each and every week. You could be with us as well. 1-800-878-7529. Those are our digits. Hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports. And check us out here at Sports Byline USA. We're now going to be joined by our professor of sports, none other than John Poulter, all the way from Canada. John, good morning. How are you, man?
Morning, guys. Doing very well, thanks. How about the two of you?
You know what? Can't complain. And in all honesty, it's been warm, but it hasn't been hot, if you understand what I'm saying here in the Valley of the Sun. So I can't complain too much yet about my summer gig of being on the tennis court as much as I am, because in all honesty, it hasn't been too bad so far, John, but I know it's coming, and I know I got several months of it, but we love it, we appreciate it, and it's not going to change, so
enjoy I better it get while you to- can. It's going to get warm real soon, and I don't need to tell you that after all these years that you've lived in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. We've been here for 20 or so years now, and it's each and every year, it seems like it gets tougher, but I just embrace it. Speaking of embracing things, NHL hockey Stanley Cup Finals, we're in it, man. We're here. We got Tampa. We got the Blackhawks. We got a 1-1 series going back to Chicago. First game, a little interesting how Tampa gets out, and then all of a sudden the Blackhawks, you know, come at them pretty heavy. Different story yesterday. A lot of scoring. A pretty, you know, explosive game, if you will. 7 goals in the Stanley Cup Finals. Is that the way Tampa has to play to win?
Yes, I think it is. Tampa is a very fast team. They're probably one of the few teams in the league that can skate with Chicago on a consistent basis. I think if Tampa learned anything from the Anaheim-Chicago series, it was probably that trying to be physical with the Blackhawks, although it might look good on paper given that the Blackhawks are not an overly physical team, they're much more of a skill team. I think that Tampa probably saw that, you know, what Anaheim tried to do, and that was combine physical presence with talent and skill. I think they saw that that didn't work, so they had to find a different way to approach it, and they looked at their own strengths, and their own strengths are speed and skill, and they decided to fight fire with fire. It worked for about 52 or 53 minutes of game one, and then for some reason or other, Chicago, I guess with their experience, played a very good road game. Tampa do not have the experience to know how to close those kinds of games out, and Chicago took advantage of that. They got a goal that was, I wouldn't say it was lucky, but it certainly was not a skilled play. It was more of a, you know, like shoot it on the net and let's see what happens type of play. It shook Tampa a little bit, and while they were still licking their wounds from that, Vermette took a puck away from the defenseman and put the puck in the net, and then all of a sudden Chicago's the team with the lead and only 6 minutes to defend. So it, and their experience helped them do that. So I think that's one of the things Tampa took away from the first game is that the game is 60 minutes, it's not 53, and we saw that last night. Very entertaining game. Kind of nice to see the series tied at 1 going back to Chicago, and game 3 now becomes a key because whoever wins that game obviously has control of home ice for the rest of the series going forward.
That is the voice of John Poulter, our professor of sports, joining us. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, you know, just a little footnote here, but you know, no pun intended, but the Lightning got a nice little spark from rookie Jonathan Drouin. What have you seen from him throughout the playoffs and in about his 8 minutes of ice time in game two?
Well, Drouin is a kind of an interesting story, and you know, I've mentioned before that it tells you how young and how strong and how skilled Tampa has been when a kid like Drouin has not been able to get into the game. 2 years ago, he was their number one draft choice. Big star in the Quebec Junior Hockey League, played with the Halifax Mooseheads, played with Nathan MacKinnon, who was the number one pick overall a couple of years ago to the Colorado Avalanche. Drouin's a little bit on the small side, but he's very quick, he's very skilled, he fits right in with the rest of those Tampa players, and quite frankly, for most of the playoffs, he's been sitting on the sideline just, you know, waiting for somebody else to either get hurt or not play well and await his chance. And I didn't look at the exact ice time that he played last night, but I would say probably your comment of 7, 8, 9 minutes is probably fairly accurate. from the game, the pieces of the game that I saw. And from that standpoint, he certainly didn't embarrass himself, and he's just another classic example of the right way that Tampa has built that team in terms of going for the future.
Hey, John, take us through the mind of a goaltender in the playoffs, Stanley Cup, if you will. You know, you have Bishop, who looked good in the first game, you know, obviously up until those last 7 minutes you're talking about, and then the Blackhawks hit him with a couple of goals. He runs off the ice as quick as possible, gets down that hall, you know, and then turning around for a game two, you know, you're giving up three, but your team scores four. And then Crawford, on the other hand, you know, able to, you know, withstand him in game one, but he gives up four goals in game two. Take us inside the mind of each one of those goaltenders. Bishop, after his mindset of losing game one in kind of a strange way, and then Crawford, where it was a little bit different, like the floodgates were open in game two. So take us in the minds of each one of those guys.
Well, sort of two real opposites, Andy, you know, not just from what we see on the ice, but I think from a mental preparation, probably two exact opposites as well. On the one hand, you've got Crawford, who is an experienced goaltender. He's been the number one goalie for 3 or 4 years, Stanley Cup winner in 2013. So he's got something in terms of experience under his belt. Bishop hadn't really played a playoff game for any team until this year. He was hurt last year when Tampa Bay played in the first round to the Canadiens and were swept. And I think that was probably a huge reason that the Canadiens won that series so easily. So Bishop had something to prove. Tampa's a better team this year than they were last year, plus their goaltending is better because of Bishop. And they've been on quite a roll throughout these playoffs. And they've had the odd bad game, but it seems that every time Tampa played a bad game in the first three rounds, and specifically a bad game at home, they came up with a superlative game right after it, so it sort of erased the memories. It rebuilt his confidence. I don't think there was anything wrong with the way he played on Wednesday night in Game 1. Probably a little bit of nerves for all the obvious reasons. First trip to the Stanley Cup Final, first time on national TV across America, across Canada, and wherever else the game can be caught. So then he had that little bad spell for the 4 or 5 minutes in the third period. I didn't think he played that badly. I didn't really think that either of the goals were his fault. The first one I think he had trouble seeing, and the second one was a direct giveaway right in front of him, and I don't think any of the great goaltenders would have stopped that other than, you know, perhaps it hitting them or just a guess at where the puck would go. So I don't really blame him for that. Crawford's had an up-and-down year, and the Corey Crawford we've seen in the playoffs has not been the Corey Crawford that Blackhawk fans have become used to, not the Corey Crawford that hockey fans have become used to this season. He did struggle in the Nashville series. He was yanked after the first period of game one of the first series, and Scott Darling came in and played two or three games, and the Blackhawks looked really good until all of a sudden Darling started giving up silly goals, and then Crawford went back in, and he's been pretty consistent since then. So I have to wonder just what is going on in their mindset, but we have to keep in mind that, you know, these guys probably played 50 games apiece during the regular season. We're now 2 months into a long playoff run. As in any sport, by the end of the season, you're physically and mentally tired, and there's absolutely no time for a goaltender to let down. So I think it's only natural that they will all have bad little spots, and when I say bad spots, I mean bad periods of time. I don't mean bad periods of hockey, because I don't think anybody plays badly for 20 straight minutes, but I think it's just part of the game, and you know, there's very little rest, and even when the puck's in the other end, you've got to have your mind on the game. Who has the puck? Who can skate? Who can shoot? There's no resting for it. It's not like a starting pitcher that's struggling. He sits in the dugout for 10 minutes while his team is batting, and he can regroup. A goalie can't do that.
Right. No, exactly. And that's why that was my point is, you know, Bishop gives up two goals in a span of a minute and 58 seconds in game one. But still, you know, you have to go out and battle, and you know that you got to turn around and play another game. So, you know, I think the best cure would probably be, I'm going to use something that you kind of use, but I'm going to take it a little further and say, it's kind of like being a relief pitcher in baseball. You know, the best thing for them is to have a short memory. If they give up a home run, they got to go back out and do it again the next day. It's sort of the same with a goaltender. If you give up the goals, you lose the game. Well, you know what? You're playing another one. So you got to forget about it as quickly as possible and then regroup and get back out there and do what you know how to do for your team. But, hey, only a minute or so left in the segment, so I got to ask you, do you have a little time to spend with us on the other side?
Yep, no problem whatsoever.
Very good. Real quickly.
I think your analogy to a relief pitcher and specifically a closer in baseball is a good one for our listeners that are more familiar with baseball than hockey.
You know, I think it's almost a good one for anything when you think about it. You know, if like a guy loses a set in tennis, he's got to go back and turn around and forget about it as soon as possible and get back out there and battle. So it's very similar. Anyways, we're up against it. He's John Poulter, our professor of sports, breaking down what's going down in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to get your prediction on the other side now that it's 1-1. And then we're going to get into some baseball. So keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, Jeff Rich, Dorfman, and John Poulter with you. Keep it close. It is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
This time of year, flying pests seem to bother us more than normal. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about dealing with wasp nests and bee stings right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the QuickCrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the QuickCrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. The best time to destroy a wasp nest is at sunset using a spray designed to shoot a stream of insecticide about 20 feet away. That way you can use them from a safe distance. Make sure you wear light colors and no scented lotion or perfume that could telegraph your arrival. They start diving at you. Don't swat at the insects. Be still or move away slowly. If you do get stung, remember this. Honeybees sting once, leaving their stinger behind. To remove it, you need to scrape sideways over the stinger to prevent getting more venom into the skin. Bumblebees, yellow jackets, wasps, and hornets have smooth stingers and can sting many, many times. Their venom also attracts others, so get away quickly and wash the sting with soap and water. Then you can treat the pain and itch with cortisone cream and ice. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Gorgeous! Oh, you are the most beautiful bride I've ever photographed.
Oh!
Yes! I am witnessing a fairy tale unfold.
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobile, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Hulu. There's Plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Get involved in the conversation. 1-800-878-7529. Those are our digits. Hit us up on Twitter at ByJeffRich or at Dorfon Sports. And be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. A lot going on in the sports world, everybody. We haven't even talked about it. We know we got the NBA Finals to talk about with no Kyrie Irving for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We know we've had a little bit of a discussion about the Triple Crown winner yesterday with that going down on Saturday. And then, obviously, we're breaking down the NHL playoffs with John Poulter, our professor of sports. Before we switch gears, John, and talk some baseball for a little bit, now that it's 1-1, who do you think wins and why?
Well, I've said all along since the start of the playoffs that I thought Chicago would be in the Western Conference half of the final. I thought the Rangers would be in the Eastern Conference half. I guess I batted 500 there. I still think that Chicago has the experience and the depth to take Tampa, although they're are some areas of the game that Tampa is perhaps a little bit stronger at than Chicago. But at the end of the day, I think the three things that are going to push Chicago are the fact that just the overall experience. You take a look at the players who've won Stanley Cup rings. There are 24 Stanley Cup rings on the Blackhawks. There are two on Tampa Bay. And neither one of those was won with Tampa Bay. So for most of the guys in Tampa Bay, this is a brand-new experience, and with that comes the usual stage fright, although they're doing an excellent job in handling it. I think the fact that Chicago was able to go in and win the one game they have to win as the non-home ice advantage team in Game 1, I think that helps them. Basically, all they have to do now is win their home games, and generally they're a pretty good team in Chicago. And not to diminish the talents of Tampa Bay head coach John Cooper, who's an excellent coach and probably one of the best coaches I've ever seen at a press conference. If you ever catch him on a press conference, the guy's unbelievable. Yeah. I just think Joel Quenneville, as an experienced coach who has been there many times, has two Stanley Cup wins as a head coach, one as an assistant coach in Colorado, five conference final appearances in the last 7 years. I got to give the edge in coaching to Quenneville, and the fact that they now have home ice advantage because they've won that one game, I got to stick with them in six games, which was my original prediction. So I won't change that until I see Tampa Bay has hung up four wins.
Well, and we'll see how it all shakes out. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, and if they don't know they're not supposed to be there, if they don't know they're not supposed to win, and they just go out and play, you know what, let the puck do what it's supposed to do, and if it falls in the net, it falls in the net. So, we'll see how it all shakes out. It's good that it's 1-1. It's good that we got ourselves a series. And speaking of good, interesting how the Yankees have come up a little bit in the American League East. They've won five in a row. They're now leading the division. But with that being said, your Toronto Blue Jays under 500, but only 4.5 back.
Yeah, in the last four nights, they've beaten two pretty good teams over those four games. Went into Washington and beat the Washington Nationals 2 out of 3 after dropping the first game. They won the second and third game, and Friday night and Saturday afternoon here in Toronto, they beat the Houston Astros, who we've talked about an awful lot in terms of being a pleasant surprise. And they beat the Astros fairly easily both days. So, you know, they may be starting to get there, but we've said many times in that American League East that it's such a close competitive race that really all it takes is one team to go on a real good spell, like 7 out of 10, 12 out of 15, something along those lines, and they can separate themselves from the pack. The Yankees, 7-3 in their last 10, and five in a row, so maybe the Yankees are that team at the moment. But, here are the Blue Jays winning four in a row, and they're right back in the race as well. So that's going to be a great division. And, you know, I look at the six divisions across baseball, and four of those six divisions, the lead is a game and a half or less. One is 3.5, and really only one is starting to open up. That's the National League Central at 6.5 games. So kind of where we'd like to be, the competitive baseball season, 55 or 60 games into the season.
Absolutely.
Hey John,
that's the voice.
You know,
go ahead,
Jeff. Saw the
Yankees get beat up on Garrett Richards, showed him a bad time, putting up six runs in the first inning in front of a national audience on Saturday. You're looking at the Angels, they're finally back at 500, five and a half games behind Houston. And Houston, losers of their last three, six of their last ten. Are we finally starting to see Houston level out, plateau, and perhaps even come down to earth? Or is this just a slump, that we see from everybody in the dog days of summer?
Probably a combination of both, Jeff, and probably a little too early in this quote-unquote bad streak to really assess it properly. We talked about this either last week or the week before, and I think we all kind of agreed that the Astros were a pleasant surprise. They were playing well, but at some point in time it might catch up to them, and the other teams might start playing well. And maybe in that division the big surprise has been Texas, who now find themselves four games above 500 and only three and a half back of Houston. And yeah, Richards looked terrible yesterday. I think he went two-thirds of an inning, faced 11 batters, and gave up seven runs. Not what you'd expect from one of your top-of-the-rotation guys. And that's probably the Angels' weakness, because C.J. Wilson has not been throwing at great spots either. So, two of your best starters don't play well. It's pretty hard on the rest of the team. So that division could get interesting yet, and I still have trouble understanding why the Seattle Mariners are six games under 500, even though Felix Hernandez has won nine games. I don't understand why that team isn't hitting better, and maybe the pickup of Mark Trumbo from the Diamondbacks this week is going to help them a little bit in that regard. But a team with Nelson Cruz and Robinson Cano shouldn't be 27th or 28th in offense in the major leagues.
Hey, John, let me ask you this. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, we're 55 games into the season. They're only one game under 500. Is that better than you would have expected for the Diamondbacks?
Tons better, especially when you consider that the Dodgers and San Francisco have always sort of been 1 and 1A in recent years in that division, and the Padres beefed up big time over the winter, and the Diamondbacks made it very clear that they were in a rebuilding process, and, you know, they're still in that rebuilding process when they trade a guy like Mark Trumbo, who might have been one of their better power threats with Goldschmidt. They trade him for three or four prospects. You have to think that they are still thinking rebuild, but when I look at a team that is only a game below 500 in a division that's that strong, I have to think that maybe they're doing a little bit better than they thought they would, and it would be interesting to see if that has had an effect on the attendance down in Arizona. Have you seen anything along those lines that's helped the attendance at all?
I haven't been really paying that much attention to their attendance, but they seem to draw, to be honest with you, Jeff, if I'm not mistaken, they draw relatively well, whether they're winning or losing. And obviously, as the season goes on, if you're losing, you're going to dwindle. We all, can assume that that's going to happen. But you know what? There's a lot of people from different places here, and a lot of people just like to go out and check out some baseball or basketball, whatever it is that's going on in this town, and they don't necessarily have to be loyal to the teams here. Sometimes they want to just go check out the visiting teams that are coming. Like when the Cubs come to town, guarantee you they have big, big numbers because there's a lot of Cub fans out here. So it's more about the ability that they have here to put people in the stands because of maybe who's coming to they're coming to see versus going to see the home team. Does that make sense, John?
Yeah, it does. Well, and from the time that I've been in Arizona and I've seen the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the Cubs and to some extent some of the other teams, and those are the ones that come to mind to your point. I think a lot of times it's transplanted Chicagoans or transplanted St. Louisians who have gone to games because it's baseball and they're more baseball fans than they are Diamondback fans. I think that's a great analogy.
Go ahead, Jeff. I know you had something to say.
Well, I think that it helps this season for the Diamondbacks fans, those that are interested in the home team. The number 44 is back on the field. And, a lot of the Diamondbacks, they know Tony La Russa, Dave Stewart are all about the future. So they're trying to see the future. So when you throw a guy like Archie Bradley out there, people people will come to the turnstiles. I do think that John's got a good point. I mean, this is a transplant town, so and it exists in hockey too. There's a lot more fans of the sport than there are of the home team.
Hey, John, let me ask you this. The Marlins made their move. At the time, I believe they were 16-22, and they were very unhappy. They're 23-33 now since that move. They've only won about 6 games and lost 11, if my math is correct. How can they be feeling now?
My guess is desperate. I think you and I communicated on another strange move about a week ago when they determined that, you know, maybe the problem hadn't been the manager, but it was the fact that the third base coach couldn't give signs properly. You know, it's just one thing after another in Miami, and I just do not understand what is going on down there. There's lots of great young talent. There's certainly no shortage of money in terms of how they would structure that thing, and there's no salary cap in baseball. So I just really struggle to understand why the Marlins are I won't use the word embarrassment, but I'm sure they're not the model franchise that Major League Baseball would like to see down there.
No, I agree 100%. You know, speaking of a model maybe for success, let's talk a little bit about the Minnesota Twins. They're leading their division ahead of those Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers at this point in the season. Who in their right mind would have thought this?
Well, certainly not any of the three of us. I think we all agreed that, you know, there was four contenders in that division and an ugly stepsister, and here we are 55 games into the season, and the ugly stepsister is sitting there with a one-game lead. And the two teams that we thought were the two strongest in that division are both 2-8 in their last 10. And one is a game behind, and the other is 4 games behind. And Detroit being 4 games behind, feeling the heat of the Cleveland Indians, who are only 5 behind. So that's going to get real interesting. Do I see the Twins staying there over the course of the season? No, I think it's kind of a Houston story. They will come back to the pack, and I think at the end of the day, Kansas City, Detroit, and perhaps to some extent Cleveland, and maybe even the White Sox will get back into that race. But I'm sure that they're enjoying it in Minnesota right now, and Paul Molitor is having a real enjoyable time as his first Major League manager spot.
Hey, John, let me ask you something about my Indians really quick. You know, team's heating up. Yan Gomes is back. Starting pitching's been solid. Bullpen's coming around. But there's a big hole on the left side of the infield that nobody could deny with Lonnie Chisenhall and Jose Ramirez at shortstop. And the Indians have a top-5 prospect in Francisco Lindor. What justification, the way that Jose Ramirez has struggled, does the organization have for not calling up a phenom like Francisco Lindor?
Well, I guess I would look at it from two standpoints. I guess the obvious one is business. They probably don't want to call him up because it's service time. And secondly, do they feel that by calling him up with a guy like Ramirez, who's a veteran, are they sort of starting to wave the white flag? And, you know, do you want to wave the white flag at the middle of June when you're only 5 games out? What does that tell your fans? So that would kind of be the way that I would look at it. I haven't seen the Indians play since they played the Blue Jays a couple of weeks ago. So although I've been tracking their progress on MLB.com and reading the papers every day, I haven't actually physically seen a game. So it'd be unfair of me to comment in terms of the quality of the play on the left side of the infield. But my guess would be it's more business than it is on-field talent, Jeff.
Hey, John, as always, really appreciate you taking time out with us. So we can hear the music in the background. Means we got to get the heck out of Dodge. You have a great rest of your day, and look forward to talking to you next week about what's going on in hockey and in baseball.
My pleasure as always. Look forward to next week, and if you haven't seen it, take a look at the YouTube video of Lloyd McClendon's ejection this week in the game against the Yankees. It is absolutely unbelievable. It's humorous. It's just like Earl Weaver. Long time since we've seen a tirade like that.
Sounds great. John Poulter, a professor of sports, joins us each and every week. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
This family is at home, but they won't be answering the door. They know that the pounding on the door is a process server from the court waiting to hand them foreclosure documents. So instead of enjoying the home they worked so hard to afford, they sit hiding in the dark.
Mom, what was that?
But it doesn't have to be this way. This family can save their home, but they must act fast. Call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions at 800-274-7312. If you're being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, or are upside down on your home, it's critical that you call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions now. 800-274-7312. Allied State Foreclosure Solutions has an attorney in your area that will meet and speak with you. You can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, save your home and your credit, but you must act now. Call 800-274-7312. 800-274-7312.
Not available in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
All righty, everybody, welcome back. Final segment here on this hour of Dorfon Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank John Poulter for joining us as he does each and every week, breaking it down NHL and Major League Baseball. Jeff, I really can't wait till next hour when we have Fred Wallen on with us, because we're going to get knee-deep into the NBA playoffs, obviously, with your Cleveland Cavaliers really up against it now. It was going to be tough in the first place, playing a great team in Golden State, but it just got ramped up quite a bit with the loss of Kyrie Irving, and now guys like Dellavedova and the rest of the characters are going to really have to step up once again for your Cleveland Cavaliers. Really tough, man, and I feel for you to a certain degree. But, hey, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, right?
There's two ways to approach this, basically. There's the headphones on where, yo, I'm thinking with my head. And then there's the headphones off when I'm thinking with my heart. Now, the heart wants to believe, but the head looks at this as a serious uphill battle. The only thing that, the only thing I can look at from an intellectual point of view, is that every time this team has faced adversity, when they lost Kevin Love in game four of the opening round series, they stepped up. They've stepped up when LeBron hasn't been able to play. They've stepped up when Kyrie Irving hasn't been able to play. I know it's a tall order, but it's something that's possible. LeBron James is still the best player in the game. Let's see if he can, if he can build his teammates up and will his way to victory.
We've talked about that will to win. He has a great will to win. We'll see if the rest of his guys, the supporting cast, are ready to join the fight with him today. He needs a big game from Shump. He needs a big game from JR and the rest of the guys, but We'll be back in a few minutes. Keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.